You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. This is Dustin Heiner, and I'm ready to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just over broke job, by investing in real estate so you never, ever have to work a job again. And today, we are going to be looking all at short-term rental properties and long-term, and the benefits and the negatives about both, and why you should have both of these in your business model. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, what's going on? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. I mean, like, honestly, I really appreciate you being here and listening to the show. I mean, we're getting close to 2 million downloads now, which is just, it's so amazing. And with that, I and Master Passive Income, we're doing something that we don't normally talk about. In fact, we're going to start talking a lot more about this. And it is short-term properties and mid-term properties. Now, I know you've been listening for a while now, and even if you haven't, and this is your first episode you're listening to, I'll give you a little background. So I quit my job by investing in long-term rental properties. Back in 2006, you know, Airbnb wasn't even around. There was no such thing as Airbnb. It was hotels. That's what people went and lived in. Now, I invested in long-term properties where I make $250 a month at minimum in passive income. Some are making me $500, $600, $700, $800 a month, $1,000 a month in passive income, which is super amazing. And with that, I was blessed to be able to get financial independence and quit my job. Because once you have 10 properties at $250 a month, that's $2,500 a month without working, and it's automatic. I literally don't do anything, and I have other people do the work for me. 20 properties is $5,000 a month. That's $60,000 a year without working. So I just scaled my business, eventually got to 30 plus properties, and was blessed to be able to quit my job. Now, after I quit my job, what was interesting is Airbnb and the short-term rentals started popping up. I personally think that they can't, or thought, not think now, because I'm definitely getting into those. That's why we're doing these episodes now. But at the time, I was really concerned about potentially having a lot of problems with your properties. Well, now there's been so many amazing things and so many amazing companies, software, property management, because back in 2010, 11 and 12, when I was investing, there were no short-term properties, no short-term property managers. You would have to do it all yourself. And you know, I want to be as completely passive as possible. I don't want to have to worry about turnover of tenants. I don't want to have to worry about stocking shampoo, all that sort of stuff. That's absolutely not something I ever wanted to do. So long-term was perfect. Now, fast forward to where we are today. So last week's episode, I shared with you my plan moving from Phoenix, leaving our home as a short-term property. We literally just, like, really just started buying furniture, started removing things, basically getting it ready for a short-term property. Now, we are currently, like, this is the last night. We're flying out tomorrow. So when you're hearing this, it's literally the day that we're flying out. So I'm recording the night before. And we have taken 2 weeks and driven from Missouri through Illinois and Kentucky, and now we're in Tennessee, and I'll be completely honest and say we love this area, at least this time of year. This time of year, it's March, getting in April. So beautiful right now, no bugs and no humidity. It's just been beautiful, but the areas have been beautiful. Middle Tennessee, from like Nashville to Cookeville to Knoxville, has just been absolutely beautiful. With that, we also have lots and lots of friends in the area, so we've been staying at their houses. They've been showing us the area. So our plan now is to move to Tennessee for many different reasons, but a big reason is we want more land. We love, like, green, you know, trees and all that sort of stuff. We're in Arizona. We just have cactus and rocks and dirt. Don't get me wrong. I was there for 7 years. I still love Arizona, but it's like we want more land. We'd love to be able to hunt on our land, things like that. So with that, what we're looking at now is moving to Tennessee. Now we're leaving our old home in Phoenix as a short-term property, and we're going to be moving into an investment property. Now, it will be a primary residence, but because I'm an investor, and I want you to start thinking like an investor, how do we utilize everything to our advantage? I'll give you an example. If you buy a primary residence, that's the best way to buy a property. If you buy an investment property, you have higher interest rates, higher down payment usually, and it's going to be hard to get a HELOC on that property. There's just so many more benefits of having a primary residence, and the biggest one is a conventional loan. 30-year fixed loans are absolutely amazing. So I'm going to be moving my family, leaving most of our stuff. We're not going to be getting, you know, semi-trailers and stuff of all of our stuff across the country. We're literally just going to have a couple trailers attached to my SUV and my truck and drive across the country because we're leaving most of our stuff. But we're going to be buying a property in Tennessee. We're not exactly sure where we're landing yet. We're still looking at the areas. There's so much that you need to learn about short-term properties before you do it. Now, here's another reason why I haven't actually taught short-term properties. Now, when a student comes to me and says, Dustin, I want to turn this into a short-term property, I literally teach them how to do it. It's not that bad. Once you know, once you're an investor, once you know the ins and outs, you can do it. Now, I personally have never, I'll be completely straightforward and honest with you, I've never personally done a short-term property. I've never done that. And that's why I've shied away or just didn't feel comfortable with teaching ins and outs about short-term property, because I'll be completely honest and say I'm not the type of person that is doing this for, there are a lot of people online, especially social media, that maybe have one property and they start trying to teach everybody, saying there's this guru. I personally want to know exactly what I'm doing and have experience before I start teaching people. You know, like these people that call themselves life coaches. I'm like, well, you've literally conquered life. I mean, how do you coach people in life? Like, or is everything in your life absolutely perfect? Well, I'm kind of digressing a little bit. All this to come back full circle to explain the reason why I haven't really taught or talked too much about short-term properties is because I haven't actually done it myself. And I feel like just for me, but also probably for other people, if you haven't done it, you probably shouldn't be teaching it. Now, I can, like I said, I've showed many people how to do it, but now, because I am getting to the short-term game, now I'm literally going to be teaching students. I'm going to create courses. I'm going to document everything that we're doing so you can see everything that I'm doing so you can do everything as well. So as we are building out the short-term side of the Master Passive Income business and my real estate investing business, you're going to be learning along the way. Now, I'll be completely honest and say I already know how to do all this stuff, so I'm already doing it, but I wanted to wait until I actually had my own short-term properties so that you can learn along with me as I'm doing it. So that's why now you're going to be getting a lot more. I wouldn't say a lot more. It's going to be added to the normal content for Master Passive Income is the short-term properties and the midterm properties, how to furnish the properties, how to make sure you become a super host, all that sort of stuff. I'm going to be talking a lot more about that, and it's going to be amazing for you. Now, here's my personal belief. I love my long-term properties. They make me so much money without working, but here's the great thing. You don't have to be all long-term, because long-term is steady, great money. It's not as much as short-term. Short-term, you're going to make a lot more. So my personal preference is 80% of my portfolio, basically my inventory. You guys know I talk about business. The inventory of properties, 80% is going to be long-term properties. The other 20% is going to be short-term properties. So here's what I am currently doing. I'm literally going through Tennessee, finding good areas. I have four areas that I'm really nailing down. And I'm going to start a new business here in Tennessee that's going to be short-term and mid-term properties. My goal, I'd love to get another 10 or 20 of these properties in one location, build out my own property management team. So we already have everything. Instead of hiring somebody else, paying 25% to somebody else, we can do it so much cheaper. And so that's what we're going to be doing here at Master Passive Income, what my family is going to be doing. And I'm going to be bringing you along with it as well so that you can do the same thing. So we're going to be creating courses, we're going to be doing coaching and all this sort of stuff, because as we've done, in fact, William and Charles have both already done short-term properties, many of them. So we already have that. So my coaches, I just now, because I'm getting into it, I'm going to be sharing everything with you. Now, today's episode, we're talking all about the pros and cons of both, because there are so many great things about short-term, so many great things about long-term, or sorry, short and long-term great things, but there's also negatives about both. And I want you to be completely aware going into it, and it might help you to understand why I'm personally 80% of my portfolio in long-term and 20% in short-term. Now, who knows? Maybe after I get 20%, I might be thinking, oh my goodness, this short-term is fantastic, and I might change it. 50% long-term, 15% short-term. You never know. At least, I don't know yet. I just know that's my goal, is to eventually get 80% long-term, 20% short-term, and then I will reevaluate, check my risk tolerances and all that sort of stuff. But this is going to be an amazing new route. Like, I love learning new things. I love doing new things. And this is a whole brand new thing that I'm so excited about. And I'm excited to take you on that journey with me so you can put this in your business model, where you don't have to just be long-term. We're going to do both. Now, I'm going to be talking all about where and how and all that sort of stuff in many episodes to come, so that you can be completely ready for this. Now, with that, I want to make sure that you are also learning how to make sure you do long-term. Like, everything in real estate, honestly, everything is good. Like, William, he invests in the mobile home parks. He does own some of the mobile homes themselves, but he owns the park, where the land where people are actually parking their mobile homes. So he gets rent just from people parking their mobile homes on the land. So that's a great way to invest. Charles is investing in multifamily, which we're now going to start coaching multifamily. We have Zach Zimmer, who has his own podcast, the Passive Income Life podcast, a part of the Master Passive Income Network. He's invested in notes and lending his money and multifamily, apartment complexes, all that sort of stuff. I've invested in hotels. We're going to be teaching so much more outside of just the long-term residential, 4 units and below. We're going to be helping you to be a well-rounded investor, even an advanced investor, to where you scale. I personally think you should start long-term, get a few properties long-term, and then maybe 4 or 5, and then get a short-term property, and then keep building from there. Eventually, you're going to start investing in apartment complexes and hotels, and you're going to have enough money to where you're now lending money to other people. You are going to actually be a well-rounded investor with Master Passive Income. So I'm just, you know, I so love that we also have the opportunity to teach you so many other ways to invest in real estate. And today we're talking about the pros and cons of long-term and short-term rental properties. And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets. With a short-term rental property, there's a lot more moving parts. You have a lot more people moving in and out, and we'll get into that. And the reason why I like them both is because I make money in both. But here's a great thing about short-term rental properties. You make so much more money with a short-term rental property per day instead of per month with a long-term rental property. And this is what I mean. Per month, I could rent out, let's just round numbers, I could rent out a property for $1,000 a month for a lease. So a yearly lease, somebody signs in, they get a $1,000 a month lease. Well, that's great. I make $1,000 every single month. But with short-term rental property, you rent it out per day. And so per day, let's say you rent it out at $100 a day. Well, after 10 days, I have the entire $1,000 that I would normally have rented out to somebody else for an entire month. Well, on top of that, I have an extra, if it's December or January where it's 31 days, I have a whole nother 21 days to get more money. So if it's rented for $100 for 31 days, that's $3,100. That's three times what I would make with a long-term rental property. Now, my opinion is that yes and no. I mean, sometimes you might get people that are in there. You might not. Maybe it might not be rented for, you know, maybe a week at a time, or you're renting in Phoenix where it's 120 degrees in the middle of July and nobody's going to be renting there unless they're coming and visiting a dead relative or something like that. Well, in that case, then it eats in your profits. But here's what I get asked you. For short-term rental properties, do you think whatever home, let's say your home that you're living in now, could you rent it out for 10 days for $100 a month and make $1,000? More than likely, you absolutely could. There's more than 10 days in like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So let's say you rent it for three weekends. You know, that's 9 days at $100 a month or a day. Sorry, excuse me. And then you're at $900. Well, you need to rent it out one more day and you got your $1,000. So there's so many benefits about short-term rental properties. So I love making more money with my short-term rental properties because it's a lot of money. And obviously, I like making money. Every penny counts. And so I just keep adding it up. But at the same time, there's a lot more headache. There's a lot more moving parts. Now, let's both look at the pros and the cons of long-term rental properties. Let's start with the pros for both. We're going to look at long-term rental properties, give you the pros, and short-term rental properties, give you the pros for those as well. Now, here's the key, though. You've listened to my previous podcast where I share about the six ways that rental properties make you money. With short-term and long-term rental properties, they both make you the same six ways because you're getting a tenant in there. It's just a different a lease term. So your lease would be 2 days as opposed to, or it's not really a lease, it's more of a contract, but instead of a lease of a year. So I'll show you six different ways, amazing ways that real estate rental properties make you money. It's just super, super crazy how you make so much money. I'll quickly go through those. So in case you don't want to go back and listen to it, I'll really, really quickly go through it. So number one, you make it through monthly passive income. That's where your income exceeds your expenses. Number two, you get equity capture. When you buy the property, you capture that equity, you put it in your pocket. You buy it for $100,000, but it's worth $125,000. Now that $25,000 you put in your pocket. Forced depreciation. You put work into the property. You fix the broken lights. You put carpet down. You paint the walls and make the landscaping look good. Well, that increases the value of the home, which makes you force the appreciation up. Market appreciation. As just the market in general goes up, values go up, you make more money. Equity buildup. So, and that's basically like a mortgage pay down where your tenant is paying off your mortgage for you. They're basically buying the property. Your last one is your tax advantages. Things like business write-off expenses, depreciation off your income taxes, 1031 exchange. There's so many great ways. So that's a quick, hold on, like a fire hydrant full of great information. But go back and listen to my podcast episode, masterpassiveincome.com/028, where I explain everything about those six ways that you make money in real estate rental properties. Now, all that being said, both long-term and short-term rental properties have those benefits. So those alone are fantastic. But on top of that, we look at the long-term versus short-term rental properties. Now, the pros are for long-term rental properties are a few things. Number one, consistent cash flow. Like you're always getting money coming in unless you have an eviction, somebody moves out. I understand that. But it's always rented once you have a tenant in there. And it takes them a long time to move out. Like say a year, you have a lease for a year. For an entire year, you have consistent cash flow, which is very, very good. And so instead of having a short-term rental property where they go in for 2 days and leave, you have them in for a year. So you have consistent cash flow. Now for my family, we love the consistent cash flow because we can count on that, you know, to pay our bills, to go on our, you know, 6 week trips around Europe or Japan or, you know, buying this, that, or the other, and we're not worrying about bills. We need that consistent cash flow so that we can continue to, you know, live the life that we want. Now, the next thing with that consistent cash flow, you have low turnover of tenants. So you have a much lower turnover of tenants. And in doing that, you don't have a lot of money in expenses to clean up, to paint the walls, to clean the carpets, to, you know, fix things that they broke or whatever it might be. And even leasing to new tenants. That costs money when you lease to new tenants. And so you have a low turnover, which is great for long-term rental properties. You want as low of a turnover as possible. Another great thing, the expenses or the bills, like, you know, utilities or electricity or garbage or anything like that, those are all in the tenant's name, not in your name. You're not paying those. Now, unless you want to, meaning you're collecting the money from them, like don't just give them a free ride and, you know, pay the electricity or the utilities. Don't do that. But if you want to collect the money from them to then pay the utilities, you can do that. But your tenants are paying for these, and it's not even, more than likely, you're not even seeing those bills. Now, you need to make sure that they're being paid. I have one area of the country where if the tenant doesn't pay the water bill, it gets stuck with the property owner because they want to get their money no matter what. And so it's really, really irritating. So we have to keep up on the water bill. That's a pro tip. You watch out for these things where it's a municipality that's actually doing the water. And so they're going to attach it to the house. And if the tenant goes for 6 months without paying the water, they'll do that. In fact, what they'll do is, if a tenant owes $100 a month and they go and pay $25 just to keep it on, they'll rack up $75 every single month. So for 6 months, you keep racking up. And that's only $100, but I've had $200 bills. And so over 6 months, they just keep it on. The utilities are, oh, we don't know when to shut it off. And so, you know, anyways, so unless they make the bill current, I'm on the hook for those bills. So every single month we got to go and look at the water bill. It's horrible. It's rather a bummer, but I don't do it. My property manager does it. It's just an added expense. But so I wanted to give you guys that the pro tip, always be checking on utilities, making sure, especially or 100%, if it's going back in your name, you know, if you're going to get stuck with a bill, always be checking on that as well. And so another pro for the long-term leases is that you receive a security deposit for any potential issues. Like when they move out, they leave it a mess. You use the security deposit to clean up the property. Usually it's about 1 month's rent. So if you're renting it for $1,000, they give you $1,000 in security deposit for renting the property so that when they move out, you would deduct any normal expenses that would be to clean it up. But then after that, the rest goes back to them. Like let's say you had $800 in expenses to clean it up, you give them back the $200. And so it's just a way for them to pay for things that happen in the future. Also, if they go through an eviction, then that eviction process is also paid for by the security deposit, as well as they forfeit that security deposit if they break the lease. Another one is you're able to automate the business. This is a huge, huge bonus about having long-term rental properties. I literally don't do any work and the business is automated where it's running itself. I have other people doing the work. I have property managers, like I said, I even have accountants doing all my bills. I have realtors and contractors and construction workers and roofers, plumbers, inspectors and termite, you know, abatement and all that sort of stuff. I pay other people to do the work, but even though I pay it, I am personally not paying it. My tenants are paying that. So I make that inside of the expenses as I'm buying a property. So let me break it down. If I'm buying a property and I know it's going to rent for $1,000, I'm going to make sure that all the expenses, that would be any inspections, anything that I need to account for, taxes, insurance, vacancy factor, things like that, I make sure, and my mortgage, obviously, I make sure that's accounted for in the expenses. So all the income minus expenses, then once all the expenses are paid, I have money going in my pocket every single month. Another pro tip I'll give you, $250 or more a month in passive income is what you want to shoot for. Don't shoot for $50. Like, you know, you're renting it for $1,000 and the tenants, your expenses are $950. You're only pocketing $50 a month. That's not good. Go for $250 or more. That's my opinion. Now, somebody might say, I know you might be thinking, well, how did I get that? That's really hard to find, blah, blah, blah. I agree. It's hard to find. That's what you got to do, your work. You got to look for properties. You got to make deals and make offers on properties lower than the actual value that they're putting on. Like they're asking the sale price of $100,000, but you need to get it for $75,000 in order to make money. Well, put in the offer for $70,000 and work your way up to $75,000 in negotiating. And if they take it, they take it. You might be helping them out. Like don't be thinking, well, I'm giving a low ball offer and they're going to be very, very upset. Like get that completely out of your mind. Because you may very well be helping them out of a jam. They need that $75,000 and you're able to help them out. You want to be thinking like that you're helping people. Now, if they don't want the offer and they're offended by it, oh well, they get offended. People can get offended all they want. Like in our Constitution, it doesn't say you have the right to not be offended. No, it doesn't say that. You have the right to not be have things stolen from you and other rights. Not being offended is not something that's your guaranteed right. People are going to get offended. So you can also be helping people. So don't think about it as an offending somebody. Think about it as you helping people out. Now, they don't have to, like, you're not forcing them to sell you the property. They can't do that. So just move on. All right. So those are, now there's many other pros, but we're going to get into, because I wanted to make this condensed. We're talking a little more about short-term rental properties, because I've been getting a ton of questions from people about short-term rental properties. People are seeing Airbnb and how much money you can make on there. VRBO is another website that people use. It's another good website to rent their house, you know, on a vacation basis, for, you know, on a daily basis. So let's go through the pros of short-term rentals. The pros are, number one, you make more money. Like I explained earlier, you rent it out per day as opposed to per month. And when you rent it out per day, you make a lot more money. More than likely, you're going to be able to get your house for $80 or $100 a day. And on top of charging per day, people might be thinking, well, a con or a negative thing is you have to clean up the property every single time. Well, yes, that is a negative, but that's not coming out of your pocket. So I'm going to jump quickly into the cons or the negatives about short-term rental properties, but say that's actually negated by the tenant paying it. So they would pay it per day, but then also they pay a cleaning fee, whatever you charge, $40, $50, $100, whatever the cleaning fee is. Now, when they pay that cleaning fee, that goes to the cleaning company. Maybe you might add an extra $10 for yourself. You know, it's totally up to you. It just might price you out of the market, where somebody might say, wow, it's a $100 cleaning fee when it's $50 over here. I'm not doing that. So that's another thing to take into account. But if it's turning over, you make your more money per day. Well, you actually account for that cleaning fee inside of your listing. So you add that to your listing as a $50 cleaning fee. So anytime anybody books, they automatically pay that fee. So that is negated, that whole cleaning fee and, you know, charging for that clean. That's all negated. Now, another pro is that it's flexible. Your properties are flexible. Let's say you wanted to live in Hawaii for, you know, maybe a month out of the year, but the other month, or months, 12, sorry, 11 months, you want to rent it out so it pays for itself. Well, you can absolutely do that. Rent it out for 11 months and then block out an entire month where you go live there for an entire month rent-free, because it's your property, but other people are paying all those taxes and insurance and fees and mortgages and a property manager, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to do that, you can. Now, here's another beauty thing. Let's say you want to bless another family. You want to benefit, you know, let's say a minister or a pastor or a missionary or something like that. Like, hey, you know what? I have this house over in, I don't know, wherever, the mountains or the ocean or whatever, you know, pick a place. And you say, I want to send you there because, you know, I love you and you're almost like family and I wanted to send you there. Or you, a family member, like your parents. Hey, go use my beach house. Go use my mountain property. It's flexible, so you can block out that time so that they can go and use it. Now, that's another great, great thing. I love being able to do that. Now, another one, another great pro or a positive is you use your property when you want it. So you can use it at any time. Let's say the next month, oh, I got to go there because I have a wedding, you know, that's in that area. Well, then you can then block out that time and go stay in it. Basically, just like it's being flexible, you can use the property whenever you want. Another thing, and it taps back into the make more money. So your short-term tenants, they pay for all the expenses. You account for the expenses like your taxes and insurance. So you account for that. Now, if you're not accounting for it, you need to account for it. So if you're going to rent it for $20 a day, as opposed to 80, because you have more expenses, well, you might be losing money. So when you're charging, you need to make sure you account for all expenses. That's, you know, utilities. I mean, a big one is electricity. You know, when I go to an Airbnb, I crank that AC because I'm not paying for it. Actually, I've already paid for it basically in my, you know, night stay, like at a hotel. I crank that AC. It's freezing in there. My kids say, Daddy, we have to wear jackets just to go to bed. I'm like, yes, I know, because I love it. And so you're accounting for that, but your tenants actually pay for all those expenses. So you need to make sure that you account for those. Now, again, the cost of cleaning, another pro is the cost of cleaning, cost of maintenance, cost of everything is paid for by your tenants. Even the lawn maintenance, even the cleaning, even the air conditioning repair, all that sort of stuff, those are paid for by your tenants because you account for those in your expenses. And so you charge more in general, not saying you overcharge, but you add that into your expenses. And so that comes out of the rent that you collect through Airbnb. Now, another pro, Airbnb has insurance. I think it's like $1 million coverage over your property. So they have their own insurance. So you get your own insurance, like definitely don't do that. Get landlord's insurance. Don't count on theirs. But they have insurance on top of it. They tout that, or they say, hey, this is great from us. We are giving you $1 million insurance policy. Obviously, it's costing them money, but that's what they cost in their overhead. Now, and those are the general pros or positives for short-term rental properties. I know there are many more we can go over, but we're not. These are just going to give you a good general overview. Now, for the cons of the short-term and long-term rental properties, let's start with the short-term property, so the Airbnb model and VRBO.com. So the cons for this type of short-term property, the first one really comes to mind, and it's very, very simple to understand, that you're dependent on another platform. You're dependent on Airbnb, really, and VRBO. You're also dependent not just on that platform. Like if that platform goes, goes away, goes bankrupt, then your income gets dramatically cut. Or if they actually say you are no longer allowed to list on our website, if they do that, then you literally do not have anybody coming in. You maybe, you know, resort to Craigslist or something like that, but it's really hard to find short-term renters like that or quality short-term renters. And so a big one, if they don't like you or something goes wrong and they kick you off, then you're stuck and you have a property that's not rented. Also, the tenants that are a part, or you know, the customers that you would get, not necessarily like long-term tenants, but they basically are tenants, but they're customers. Think of like a hotel. A hotel has customers that comes and stay there, you know, 4, 5, 6 nights, or maybe even one night. You basically have a bunch of customers. Now, if these customers give you 1-star ratings or very low or bad star reviews, and granted, it might be deserving of a bad review. If it is, then people will not go and stay at your place. Kind of resembles something of like anything on Amazon. If you see something with like 2 or 3 stars, you're probably going to stay away from it because you think it's junk without even reading it. I'm not saying that's always the case, but it's a good rule of thumb. Like, hey, it's got like, you know, 1,000 3-star reviews and out of 5, then it's not that good. As opposed to something that has 4.5 to 5-star reviews. So you are dependent on another platform or somebody else's platform, one that you don't own, as well as the tenants, the people that are your customers that are going to be coming in and giving you reviews. So you're really dependent on them. I personally am not a big fan of that because, you know, some people can actually be somewhat of a troll or a jerk, or, you know, hey, they didn't have one day they didn't have shampoo. So I want a shampoo and they said shampoo is going to be there. And I'm going to give it 1-star. You know, people are just pretty, pretty sad sometimes. But that's a con of the short-term rental properties. You're dependent on somebody else's platform. So that's 2 in 1. You have depend on somebody else's platform, but you also are dependent on reviews, and reviewers can be horrible. Another con or another negative is the slow periods. Now, give you an example. In some places that are really just touristy, that are really good seasonal for, like, let's say you live next to Disneyland, and during the summer months when people come to Disneyland, it's booked out. Like, people are, you know, going there all the time because their kids are out of school. That's, you know, people go to Disneyland, or those mostly who have kids. I know there's some adults that go to Disneyland, but in the most part, a lot of people with kids go to Disneyland. And so let's say, like, you know, February, March, it's going to be a slower month because there are less people that are going to be going to Disneyland. Now, I'm not saying that that's absolutely the case. I'm just giving you an example of how time frames and their slow periods. And another big example, I live in Phoenix. And in the wintertime, it's fantastic for Airbnb. People come here all the time. And even in spring training, there's spring baseball where the teams come here and they practice here. And people just travel from, you know, miles and miles or hundreds or thousands of miles away to watch the spring ball. So you get a lot of people that want to stay. But in the middle of August or July, when it's like 115 degrees here, and you literally, you rarely ever go outside. Let's just say that. There's a much slower pace of people coming in. So, you know, you take the good and the bad, but that's another one. You have slow periods. If you have a property that is long-term leases, they're rented out for the entire year, no matter if it's good or bad, they're staying there. You have another one is you have constant turnover. Your property is constantly turned over to a new tenant, to somebody else that is going to want to use the property. Now, you also mitigate that problem, or quote unquote problem or a con, by having the tenants pay for cleaning and maintenance and things like that. That's all wrapped in one, cleaning and maintenance. And so when you use them to use a cleaning company to fix up the property, to clean up the property, you know, you're constantly keeping it updated, which is nice, but you do have constant turnover. where you have to find a new tenant all the time. And again, if you're dependent on a platform, if they stop hosting your property on there, then you're stuck. You're out of luck. Also, you have potential for more wear and tear on the property. You know, with people moving in and out, now granted, it's not like big furniture. They're not bringing in couches and beds and TVs and stuff like that. But you have people that you don't know if they're going to take care of the property or not. So that's going to be something you have to be aware of, that there's more wear and tear, people coming and going, lots of traffic, especially if you live by the beach. You're going to have to worry about a lot of traffic of people coming in and out. So you're just going to have potential for more wear and tear literally on everything. Also, utilities are in your name. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but the negative is that the utilities are in your name. Now, you do make sure how to mitigate that by making the tenants pay for that, by making sure that the the daily rent or how much you rent it for per day, for each night they stay, you make sure that's accounted for. Your expenses are accounted for in short and long-term leases. You want to make sure those are accounted for. You also need to upgrade the place. The home, the apartment, the condo, whatever it might be, you need to do a lot of upgrades. So that's a negative, is that people are looking for the hotel experience. I think that's what they're starting to call it. That you want to be, you know, a hotel experience where there's white bed sheets and there's shampoo, you know, as you get in, and there's a bottle of wine for you. Like, they want to be wine and dine almost. And yeah, I wouldn't say they're expecting that, but the nicer you make the place, the better the reviews are. You know, if you just have, somebody's expecting granite countertops. When you come in, there's Formica, you know, it's a certain type of countertop. And they might say, you know what, the place is not as updated as it should be. And they'll give you like a 4-star or a 3-star just because it's not updated. So you have to make sure it's updated and nice and up to date and a nice property. Now, another one, you need to furnish the property. This is a negative for the Airbnb. You have to furnish the property. You have to have put beds in. You have to have sheets and pillows. You need to have multiple sets so you can change them out and wash them. You have couches, TVs, things all over the walls. With a long-term lease, you don't need any of that. You basically give them a bare house, bare bones house. You don't have to decorate it or anything like that. Just make sure the paint looks good, make sure that the flooring looks nice and there's good lighting. Other than that, they bring everything of their own in. So you have to make sure there are furniture, there's a washer and dryer, most likely a stove, like upgraded, all that stuff needs to be really nice. So there's going to be a good, I don't know, $5,000 that you're going to need to, if not more, spent to actually furnish the property. Now, one thing I've done in the past, I actually lived in a house, and then as I moved out, I left everything. I obviously made it really, really nice, but we were upgrading to a new house, like, you know, from a 1400 square foot house we lived in for a little while. We moved all of our stuff in, and we moved out to a bigger, much bigger house, you know, 3500 square feet, bigger house. And as we moved out, we literally left the things that are nice, but there's going to be an Airbnb. So instead of moving everything, we actually just left it there and made it look really nice, and then bought new stuff for our new places. And so you can do that constantly over and over. So that's a little pro tip if you want to do that. Now, you also, a negative is it's not guaranteed income. So your income is not guaranteed. Now, I know you're going to say long-term rental is not guaranteed. I completely understand that, but it's much more guaranteed because you're going to have somebody in there that signs a lease, a one-year lease or more. If you can get them to sign a two-year lease, you can have 2 years of hopefully steady income coming in. So your income is not guaranteed, because if you can't get that next tenant or that next customer to come in, then you're out. Then you have money that you're just not making, but you still have those expenses. Also, another negative that I see: competition against other Airbnb and VRBO sites, but also your competition is hotels. With long-term rental properties, you would never consider a hotel a competition to your price structure, but with short-term rentals, it absolutely is. So looking at hotels and Airbnb and VRBO and see what they're renting for per day, so you need to make sure that you match accordingly. Like, I'll give you an example. I remember specifically going all through Europe. When I went on a 6-week trip throughout Europe, I used Airbnb all over the place, which was fantastic. But in Ireland, I remember specifically in Ireland that people in the Airbnb were not accounting for hotels. And so I would go, and even though everywhere, just about everywhere in 11 different countries, I used Airbnb, I actually used more hotels in Ireland as opposed to Airbnb, because the price of the hotel was so much cheaper. It was like half as much as the Airbnb. So not to say I didn't use any in Ireland, but I did. I mean, we traveled like, I think a whole like I want to say 1,000 miles around the whole island, which was fun. But at the same time, we stared in hotels. So that's your competition. You have to compete against hotels. You have to compete against Airbnb as well as VRBO. Your property needs to compete, as well as your property needs to be nice enough and fixed up enough to compete. Either that or you drop the price a lot so you get more people in there. Now, another negative, there are a lot of moving parts to handling and hosting an Airbnb or VRBO type of property. And I say that by, let's just run through it. Number one, you have to manage the listing on Airbnb. You need to, when anybody hosts, you have to make sure that it's going to be vacant at the time. You need to make sure that it's clean. You need to make sure that the everything's put back in place where it should be. If anything's broken, you got to fix those. You know, if anything's taken, you got to deal with the insurance. There are many moving parts, and a big one a lot of people can think of is cleaning, but there's another one that's with the communication back and forth with the people that are going to rent. That's a lot of kind of a headache, because they're going to ask, well, what about, you know, is there coffee here? What's the Wi-Fi password? You know, how do I access the place? What time can I get in? Is there shampoo? Is there towels? You know, can we use a laundry? There are so many questions. You can't even think of what questions you're going to get, but you're going to get loads and loads of questions. So I know there are ways, I'm not going to say there aren't, there are ways to automate that, getting a virtual assistant and other companies that actually take care of that. You want to use those, but that's going to be another cost that you're going to have to worry about. If you're doing it all yourself, that's a huge moving part, that many, many moving parts inside the business is answering questions, but also making sure the property is ready for the next tenant. Also, another one, along with the moving parts to the business, it's very hard to automate the business. See, I'm in the business of automating my rental property business so I don't have to do a thing. My properties work for me, my property managers and everybody I hire do all the work for me. So it's very hard to automate the business so that it runs without me, because I want it to run. I want my company to make money without me. Now, there are ways, there are companies you can pay for, but you have to account for those. Those are costs that you have to add into your expenses. So that is a good long list of negatives. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're going to make $3,000 a month instead of $1,000 on one property because you're doing Airbnb or VRBO, that could be a great source of income. And if you automate it, like let's say you have a, you know, a 17, 18-year-old teenager that's in the house that you need to give them a job. Well, you can give them a job managing it. Obviously, they'll ask you and everything like that, but they might have fun doing that. That might be great for them. Or you hire a VA or virtual assistant or something like that to actually manage the property. You get somebody next door or down the street that can clean. I don't know, but I don't know what you could do, but you can figure out ways to actually do it. So there are a good amount of cons. But if you're making $3,000 as opposed to $1,000, you may be able to offset all those expenses and things like that. So you got to think about all these things. Now, the cons or the negatives to having a long-term rental property, there are a few that come to mind, but they're really not many. The reason why I brought this up last is because there are so few. Now, the few cons that I can think of is wear and tear on a property. When somebody moves out, if you have to evict somebody, that's two all in one. I'm going to say them separately. So I'll start with the eviction. So an eviction is a negative. Somebody might stay in the property for 1 to 2 months on their own without paying rent, and they're waiting for the court date, or you are waiting for the court date to have them file a writ and have the sheriff go down, kick the tenants out and literally force them out. That takes a lot of time and a lot of money. So that's one con, is you have to kick somebody out. Not saying you don't have to do that Airbnb. Somebody may squat there, which is another thing. You have to actually evict them. Another thing with that is you have more wear and tear with people moving out furniture. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. With moving furniture and refrigerators and appliances and things like that, you're going to have big things that not a lot of people are very careful when they move stuff. In fact, certain areas of the country where I invest, people just leave entire houses full of garbage, or, you know, old couches, or, you know, they found a couch off the street, picked it up and put it in their house, lived in it, and then, you know, 3 months later got evicted and they left the couch because, it's for free. What am I going to do? I'm just going to leave it there. And so I have to pay for it. Now, I consider that a cost of doing business, and I still make money on that property, but that's another is potential wear and tear, or you will have wear and tear, and you're also going to have to fix those up to get new tenants in there. You also want to make sure that the property is in rent-ready shape. You need to make sure that the property is in good condition. You don't want a property that's in disrepair that's falling apart, and then you get some potential lawsuits against you. So I know there are plenty other cons, but I really can't think of any because I have because I have an automatic business that makes me money and I don't do a thing. And so, you know, if you think of any cons that you want to add to this, go on my show notes page, masterpassiveincome.com/048. This is the 48th Master Passive Income podcast. So you go there, masterpassiveincome.com/048. Now, if you are interested in getting into long-term rental properties, even short-term rental properties, how to actually buy properties, make sure you're making money every single month and create a passive income business, I want to give you a free course. It's masterpassiveincome.com/free course. This is going to get you insights into the business, showing you how to start the business, how to actually do it, and make sure that you do your best to never lose money. Now, there was a tip that I was asked. I was on a podcast, and they said, what's the best tip you can get when investing in real estate? Well, here's my tip. Don't lose money. I know it's really simple to say, and in the mind, you're like, oh, well, yeah, I know that, but how do I not do it? Well, the way you do that is through education. Through education, making sure that you do the right things. Where I lost so much money because I didn't know what I was doing, but now I've learned how to do it right. And now I make so much money and make money hand over fist because I know how to do it right. And the way to make sure you don't lose money is through education, learning from people like me who have gone through the school of hard knocks, did all the things wrong, and figured out how to do it right. Now I have a business that runs itself automatically. All my students that I help get through buying their first property, buying their next property, and then even quitting their job, they are super, super excited. So go out there, get my free course, masterpassiveincome.com/free course. I also have coaching, group coaching out there. If you want that as well, you can check out my website, masterpassiveincome.com. All right, guys, you've been fantastic. I really hope you see the benefit of short-term rental properties, but that is also something that comes with some negatives. So if you can mitigate that, if you can get around that, then it's absolutely realistic for you to make tons of money with short-term rental properties. All right, guys, get out there, start investing. And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching, get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.